We bow our heads in prayer. Father, you have called us into fellowship with one another. You have called us to be a light in our world. You have called us to love one another as you first loved us. Help us to see those imperatives we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, imperatives that guide us to share the good news and to live out our lives as examples in the midst of a very tumultuous world. In your name we pray, amen. I'm always struck by a phrase that we hear sometimes. Choose life. I struggle with that phrase because there's a certain amount of truth in it, and yet the opposite, there's a contradiction to it. You and I did not choose life. God gave us life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Now, I get that understanding of choosing life, that God is the one who gives us life. There are times when we need to make life choices, to choose certain things over other things. But reality is that none of us chose to be here. We are a gift that God has given us life to the very fullest. You didn't choose to be in the family you are in. God placed you in that family. It is done by the Creator who places us into those families. And so, choosing life is the very fact that God has given to each of us life from the Creator. A God whose creation is full of life. I did not choose to be born, nor did you. We were a gift given to our families by our Creator. God, who breathed life into us. God, who sustains our life. The God who the Scriptures tells us knew us even before we were formed. Pentecost, God poured out His Spirit on the church. It was to be a place where life was to be shared, sustained, and to be based on what Christ had accomplished for us through His death and resurrection. You and I are called to be a part of the body of Christ, and being a part of that body, there are certain imperatives we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. When you come to a fork in the road on this journey we call life, what do you ask yourself? Will it bless life? Will it fill the world with more life? Or does this help sustain life? You see, the Christian life is, yes, choosing life, choosing to live under the power of God's grace. In the epistle this morning to the Hebrews, we see there that reminder of those imperatives. In the first 9 verses, there are 6 imperatives given to us who live in faith and in confidence. Remain in brotherly love. Pagans noted how Christians loved each other. They could see that in the body of Christ. It was a powerful witness to those around us, how they lived and shared that love with one another. They practiced hospitality. Even pagans practiced hospitality. And so as Christians, we ought to be willing to do the same, and yes, even more. Remember those who are in prison. The writer of Hebrews says, it was understood that one was in the body of Christ, that he suffered. We don't see that so much in our world today, because you see, the reality was, if you were a Christian at that time, you did suffer. You were persecuted, oftentimes imprisoned for your faith, and even had to make the ultimate sacrifice at times. Marriage was to be honored. That marriage was to be seen different than that of the pagans around them. In that time, pagans saw their wife as simply an heir. Sexual appetites could be served in a variety of ways, such as concubines and prostitutes, and yes, even for some, homosexuality. Christ and his church was to be seen differently. The church was the bride of Christ. It was about its lifelong relationship, a lifelong monogamous and faithful relationship that should be an example to those around us. 5, do not be a lover of silver or money, is the other translation. You see, even those who are a part of the body of Christ in their own day struggled with that whole concept of how much belongs to me. Yes, money wasn't seen in the same way as we use it today, and yet there was that whole bartering system, and yet it was about who had more. Today, we look at the world in which we live, and oftentimes we put the value on life on how much you have, how much you have gained, and the significance of those dollars behind your name. And yet, we are to be seen as those who live within the means that God gives to us. Remember those who spoke the word. Consider their life. The writer says, those who spoke for God were to be examples to others. Those who witnessed to Christ should be seen in their actions, in their lives, by what they said and what they do. And that witness should be a motivation to others. Those are imperatives as we live out our lives. And then as you read that epistle lesson this morning and as it was being read, he also then in the last 8 verses gives us 6 more imperatives. Do not be led astray by diverse and strange teachings. Be strengthened by grace, not foods. There's a good one for us. Oftentimes we are motivated by what fills our stomachs much more than a lot of other things. Go outside the camp and endure the reproach he endured. Yes, the writer addresses those who had relatives and friends who remained in Judaism. That was to be in the camp. We were to go outside and share the good news with everyone around us. Then that was the importance of going outside the camp. There the camp was, based on what Jews taught and believed. We needed to step out of that. We needed to step into the light of Christ's love and grace in our lives. Seek the city that is to come. You see, too often, the focus was on a place one could look to. We see that in the writings of the in the Gospels and in the writings of the apostles there. How people oftentimes look to certain places. The New Jerusalem, the holy city as spoken of in the book of Revelation. This place was to be far different, far better or far greater than anyone could imagine. Seek that city which is to come. We need to look for that holy city. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. You see, the church was the center of a lot of what we call social justice in our world today. And we've sort of moved that to other centers. And yet, for a long and varied time, the church was the center of taking care of the poor, the widow, the orphan. The church was where people came. And they were loved. They were fed. And that was a part of the ministry of the church. Christians did their part by taking care. Our culture has moved so much of that to a different place. And yes, we debate it day in and day out. What is the best way? We have a lot of variety of opinions, and yet it is our call, it is one of our imperatives as Christians to take care of those around us. And finally, he says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Sometimes we forget that the early church was faced with a great deal of persecution. And their leaders were not always the kind of leaders that ought to be looked up to. And yet, what do the Gospels and the Epistles remind us time and time again? That they are put in place by our God, and that they are our leaders, and we should submit to them. Imagine submitting to some of the things going on at that time and realizing that these are the leaders we deal with and we pray for. And we're told that we should obey them, submit to them. And that had to be an extremely difficult thing to do. We probably need to explore that a little closer in the world in which we find ourselves today. So oftentimes, if you were to look around us and see the discussions going on within our society, it's very hard to describe that which is pagan and that which is Christian, and how we view our leaders, how we respect them, how we pray for them, how we judge them, how we ignore them, and how we sometimes decide that we know far more than they do. You see, our Christianity was about imperatives that were to provide for us a more excellent way. It was a way for us to look to those around us, to address those around us, to share with those around us. Yes, even those whom we disagree with. We live in a time where the heat is rising. Common sense and reason seem to be disappearing because of so many lies and conspiracies. Truth has lost its place at the table. We as a church have an opportunity to share the good news, to make a difference by really thinking about the imperatives that Hebrew writer talks about to those in his own time, about showing love, applying grace, offering forgiveness where wrongs have taken place, to show more kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be that shining example in the world today? Not get caught up in all the discussion and imperatives of our time, but to realize that we have been given a mission by God, and that mission is to live that love that He poured out upon us, The characteristics we have are because of what Christ has done for us. Because he was willing to come into our world to suffer, take our place, to die on the cross so that you and I may have life and to live in the power of the resurrection. And that's what ought to motivate us. And a lot of the discussions we have today need to be recentered, refocused on what is really important. And that is the love of God that ought to shine forth in our lives. We are to be a people of God who bear our own crosses. And this bearing our cross has implications for our lives. We should not look like the rest of the culture. We should have a different appearance in our culture. An appearance based on love, grace, mercy, and kindness. Extending hospitality. Holding marriage as a gift from God. Not easily tangled up with riches and money. The importance of our lives is to see those imperatives that are being lived out by what we do, say, and act. Our lives should be different. That's the call to the Hebrews as he writes to those various churches. We ought to be focusing on a future that we look forward to and yet have not seen. A future that is based on our confessing our wrongs, forgiving one another, loving one another, caring for one another. That's why God gives to us those means of grace we talk about word and sacrament ministry together. Those are the imperatives that God wants us to live and share and do in our lives. These are imperatives that not only serve the church, but they also serve all of humanity as we witness. And yes, sometimes as we are a shelter for those who have need. What are imperatives for you? Is it about being right? Is it about a certain set of standards you have? Or is it about what God has already accomplished for you? And that just as he loved you, you love those around you. Just as he forgave you, you forgive those around you. These are the kind of imperatives our world sadly needs to see and hear and know. We are called to live differently than the rest of the world. We have imperatives and we have a mission, and we can live by God's grace. Amen.